Hello, I'm Bruce Reynolds from Reynolds Communication. The following podcast is an initiative of the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries Dairy Industry Group. I'm talking with Barry Zimmerman, in-calf project leader with Dairy Australia, and today we're discussing transition cow management. Well, Barry, what are the aims of a transition cow management program?
When we think about the aims, I think we have to think about the challenges that a cow is undergoing at this time. So we're taking a cow from being a dry cow from fairway off calving into the last 3 weeks before she's due to calve. And there's a lot of challenges and things happening to that cow in that time. So we have a immense challenge on her immune system. It's going to be under maximum impact at the time of calving. We have a rapidly developing calf inside her, another that's going from being dry to swollen and about to produce a whole lot of milk. We have change in how much food she's actually able to eat in that last, particularly the last week. So a challenge with her dry matter intake. And of course we have the challenges with animal health issues, particularly milk fever, and other issues that relate to calcium metabolism in the cow. So if we're thinking about that from a challenge point of view, our aims are really control milk fever and other animal health issues in cows. A lot of these other animal health problems are related to calcium. Some of them can be related to energy or protein levels that the cows are actually eating as well. And if we can try and control those, then if we have low levels of milk fever, we're likely to see very low associated levels of other animal health issues such as RFM or assisted calvings. I think the other aim that we're trying to do, Bruce, is to get the rumen adapted well. So she's about to change her diet after calving onto a milker's diet. And if we actually don't get that rumen properly prepared before calving, then we're actually missing a golden opportunity for it. So many farmers are now feeding quite a lot of grain straight after calving, anywhere from 3 to 10 kilos. And there's a substantial need of that rumen to have time to actually adapt to that grain or concentrate feeding. So we need the little villi that's lining the rumen to have about 3 or more weeks to actually properly develop and swell up so that they can actually help with the digestion and the absorption of the fatty acids that are produced from grain.
So what are the key things then to get right with that diet fed to the cows during that transition period?
Key things to get right are to have a diet that's properly formulated. So we need a diet that is actually going to meet the needs of the cow and the developing calf in the way of energy, protein, low NDF, fibre levels. She needs to have the right trace elements for her immune system. And then to control her milk fever risk, we need to have a diet that has the right DCAT, or dietary cation and ionic difference, calcium, magnesium and phosphorus. So we've got quite a bit that we need to line up as far as the actual formulation of the diet to get that right. The second thing is, to really have the transition program working well, we need to have cows and heifers on the program for about 21 days. So that's actually really important to line up, to make sure cows have got enough time on it. We may have the ideal diet formulated and cows on it for enough time. The last thing we need to do is actually make sure the cows are physically eating it and ingesting what we are asking them or intending them to eat.
Now, if I'm a dairy farmer, how can I tell whether the feeds I'm giving my springers have the right nutrients and whether I've got the diet balance right?
Okay, look, I think there's two ways you would approach this. One is to look at the individual feeds that you're feeding and try and assess their nutrient levels. And the way to do that is to actually put them through a feed test and actually get each constituent analysed. Having done that, you need to then work out what the total diet is that you're actually feeding your herd and your cows. And there's a diet calculator on the Dairy Australia websites that is quite a good way of actually calculating whether you've got enough energy, protein, and whether your DCAD, calcium, magnesium and phosphorus are going to meet the cow's requirements and also have a low risk for milk fever. So that's probably the ideal way to do that, and a lot of farmers will probably involve their nutritionists or dairy advisors in actually helping them work through that. I think the other way to sort of get a sort of really rough rule of thumb as to how things are going is to look at the animal health issues that's actually been happening in each herd. So if you've been getting more than 1 or 2% milk fever, for example, or more than 4% RFMs, then these are triggers to indicate that we probably haven't got the transition program right. Either our diet isn't formulated properly, or the amount of time that we've got them on it, or the cows aren't eating it properly. So we can go to one or two ways. We can look at our health issues that's actually occurring, or we can actually look at the diet in the way it's actually formulated. There are some other ways, Bruce, as well, but they're not quickly seen. So things like fertility benefits from better transition programs. We know that if we minimise the weight loss the cows undergo after calving by having a good transition program, that later on we're actually going to see fertility benefits. The cows will actually get in calf quicker. We also know that if we get the program right, they'll actually make more milk straight away. So they're things that we may see sitting alongside the other issues with other animal health problems.
Now, you've mentioned fertility and increased milk production. Are there any other benefits that farmers will see from a successful transition cow program?
Oh, look, absolutely. If we think about the animal health issues, it's a major headache for a lot of farmers around the time of calving. And apart from the actual dollar spend in actually having to spend it on sick cows, but there is a real hassle factor and time factor in actually treating sick cows, particularly cows that are down. So it's certainly going to see a good benefit for farmers that way. Even simple things like having cows calving easier, that's a commonly reported benefit from it, that they're easier calving and less assistance needed. So, yeah, all round, I think there's a potential dollar benefit when we look at the benefits from fertility, milk, and the savings on sick or downer cows of up to $200 per cow.
What should farmers do to get started in setting up a transition cow program?
There are probably four things you need to consider to get a good transition cow program in place. The first thing we think about is actually getting the feed right. So we need a combination of feeds that's going to meet the cow, the developing calf and the udder's needs, and we need to meet her energy, protein, DCAD, calcium, mag and phosphorus and fibre needs in there. So that's the first thing to work through. Second thing is what sort of feeds are we going to be able to choose and how are we actually going to be able to feed it out. So we have to make sure that if, for example, we're feeding a commercial transition feed supplement or lead feed supplement, as it's often referred to, that we've got a way to actually physically feed that out. So we have to make a decision of whether we can actually feed that in the dairy or whether we're going to feed it out in the paddocks. If we feed it out in the paddocks, for example, we would much prefer it be fed in troughs or at least on some cover on the ground to minimise wastage. We have to also consider things like wet weather conditions. If we're feeding outside, we don't want the feed to get wet and spoilt, and that may well impact on the intake of the cows, what they're physically eating. Getting the cows sorted, Bruce, too. So it's one thing to say, look, I'm going to put my cows on a transition program, but our aim is to have them on for 21 days. The science really strongly suggests we get much better benefit for milk fever control and rumen adaptation by having them on for 3 weeks, and we'll see the benefits from fertility and milk production by having them on for 21 days. But to enable us to do that, we really need to do early preg testing. So this is preg testing between 6 and 15 weeks of pregnancy, and that way we can accurately determine the calving dates and then enroll the cows into the program. So it's very, very important. I think the other fourth thing is really about our staff, and actually if there are other people working on the farm, that they know what to feed out and in what combinations and how to do it, and also that they've had the benefits explained to them so they'll understand why it's so important to get that mix right.
With any system, there is going to be some risk associated with it, and some of the issues that you may encounter include, you know, overfeeding cows or steaming up the cows before they calve. How can you manage those risks?
It's a very good question, and it's one that's frequently asked of us as well. A frequent concern for farmers is overfeeding and or feeding heifers transition feed. And one of the issues that could be encountered is udder edema or flag, as we often refer to it. And while a little bit of edema is perhaps a good indication that we've got our nutrition really good for cows, we obviously don't want too much and we have the risk of udders being damaged with that edema. So the way we manage that is really if they're flagged up or edematous to actually milk them, and that's quite easy to do with heifers particularly, where we have a relatively low risk for milk fever. So if we've got them quite full in the udder, actually milk them before they calve to take that pressure off them. So it's a way of managing that. One of the other risks with an udder that's more developed through the nutrition program is the risk of dripping milk and mastitis. So as we know from countdown messages, that any cow that drips milk before she calves particularly, there's a chance if milk's coming out that a bug can get in, so there's more chance of mastitis with her. So how we suggest managing that, any cow that would be dripping milk is to, particularly if they're coming in through the dairy, is to actually spray them and if necessary milk them before they calve to minimise that risk of mastitis. The preventative way for that, Bruce, is to actually go right back to the drying off process and actually thinking about using teat sealants in cows that are going to go through a good transition feeding program. If we use a teat sealant, then that's most likely going to minimise or almost eliminate that dripping milk problem in cows.
Now, you've mentioned cows, but what about heifers? Can they be included in the program?
Well, they can be and they should be, yes. I think more and more farmers are certainly including them for many reasons. One of them, for a start, is anyway just straight socialisation, that they're pulling with the cows and they establish their pecking order before they calve, so that once they've calved, they've got through already a stressful period of finding out where they fit in the herd hierarchy. But we think about the principles behind transition feeding, that if we're going to put them on more than 2 or 3 kilos of grain post-calving, well, these animals, heifers, need to have their rumen adapted as well to the starches that they're going to be fed afterwards. So, and as I said before, this takes a minimum of 3 weeks to get the little villi lining the rumen actually developed enough to take away the fatty acids that are produced from grain. So the principle is very good and that we need to follow that through. So these animals then, if we get it right with the transition, will be less likely to lose as much weight. And we know that weight loss post-calving is one of the biggest headaches we have, because they're more likely to get sick and they're also better, take longer to come back on heat and get back in calf. So we're trying to minimise that weight loss post-calving by getting things right pre-calving. There's also some effects, Bruce, with calcium, even on heifers. They are affected by it, even though they may not go down with milk fever. Like we see in our more mature cows, they will actually be affected by lower calcium. And this can be related to their immune system function. An animal that's first calving, she's probably got more stress on her than a cow. And she's also still trying to grow and, you know, develop a calf and another for the first time. So we really want our heifers in absolutely the right condition and fed the best possible food through this process as well.
We've covered a lot of issues here with transition cow management, but where can dairy farmers go to find out more about transition cow management?
Yeah, Bruce, some terrific resources up on the Dairy Australia website, and you can either go to the in-calf or fertility section and look up Springer's Repro Ready, and there are some great resources there. It's also in the feed section under the DA website. And we have some resources there. We have a 4-page brochure, which actually captures the key points around transition cow management. We have a checklist there for farmers to go through the far off dry, the transition period in the last 3 weeks and the post-calving period to make sure that they consider all the issues around people, their infrastructure, their feed, and getting their cows lined up for the programs. So I really encourage people to go and have a look at those resources. And we have advisors now, or service providers, who have been through some training workshops on transition cow management. And there's 130 plus advisors who have been through this program with in-calf and grains to milk. And there is a list on the in-calf website of the advisors who have been through that. So people could perhaps look at that list. It will be a state-based list, and see who would be appropriate for them to maybe call upon for some advice about getting a good transition cow management program in place.
Barry Zimmerman, in-calf project leader with Dairy Australia, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks very much, Bruce.
For this podcast and many more podcasts, fact sheets and videos, I encourage you to visit the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries website and click on Dairy.